going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes. They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own way home. Ain't gonna be alone. I've got a life to live, America. I've got a life to live. Tell me, do you really think you go to hell for having love? Tell me, I'm not thinking everything that you've done is good. I really need to know. After soaking the body of Jesus Christ in blood, I'm so tired of you, America. I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm so tired of you, America. Making my own way home. But I won't be alone,
be alone.
No, I've got a life to live. I've got a life to live. I've got a soul to fade. I've got a tear to hit. And that's all
become. Welcome back to the second hour National Intel Report. Jeff Bennett in for John tonight. What you've just listened to is one of the most powerful and emotional songs from a man who was amazingly talented. But he took the words of Canadian-American singer-songwriter Rufus Wainwright from 2007. Turn them into something all his own. In the later stages of George Michael's life, he had mastered his craft as both a singer, a songwriter, and his ability to live each song as he presented it. And that became something to behold and cherish. For some unknown, unusual reason over the past week, I've become very much reacquainted with George Michael and his music. Not the early Wham stuff, all that, but his later stuff that was so deep, so profound. Now, the meaning of this song for him had to do with the fact that he got himself into some legal issues in this country and basically got run out. What the reasons were, I'm not going to get into. It's not important. It's not a part of what this is about. But over the past month or so, I've become increasingly angry, depressed. Most of the time, I don't want to do a program. The amount of sleeping I'm doing at oddball hours of the day and night is insane. My eating habits are god-awful. But the peace which this man and his music has brought me over the past few days has been amazing. And I felt the need to share with you what I have felt. Each reader, each listener is going to draw from it what moves your own emotions. But yeah, I'm tired of what America's become. And I think that goes for many of us. On the YouTube posting of this particular piece, and this piece was live, by the way. It was an amazingly unique concert done at the Paris Opera House, the first artist of his type to ever do a presentation there, albeit a lot of it had to do with raising funds for AIDS. But there was a comment left by a reader. Some of it gets a little schmaltzy, but you'll understand why I'm sharing all this with you in a few moments. Sally Hu says that George Michael's voice retained its exquisite purity and clarity from the earliest days of Wham to his final performance. It got richer, warmer, more honeyed. His enunciation was remarkable. Even if you have never seen the lyrics, you could hear every word. Beautiful voice reflected his beautiful soul. And you can see that when the man performs. I've never seen anybody perform in this massive opera house. He's not walking, dancing around. He's sitting on a stool. And he's basically telling a story. Here's a man who could sing, have his speaking voice, a heart that feels deeply for humanity. Now, it's impossible to not have a caring soul and be able to write and sing songs that are now his legacy. Yeah, then she starts getting his physical appearance, blah, 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 blah. But she says, then there's the unique, inimitable talent in songwriting, total ownership in the works he produced and or performed. Owned every performance. When he was on stage, you could not tear your eyes away from him. The moves, the energy, the passion. The man could really wear a suit. Okay. Style, class, elegance. An uncommon external beauty that housed a beautiful soul. A rare thing in the rarefied world of global fame. But there's more to this. We're not here to discuss entertainment. With all that troubled this man, he could still come out and do what I saw him do. I want you to consider just these few words from this song. I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm going to see some folks who've already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm going to make up for all of the Sunday Times. I'm going to make it up for all of the nursery rhymes. They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America. Now, understand that when I posted this several days ago on federalobserver.com along with the video, and I have probably watched this entire concert more times than I've ever watched a single video in my life. It lasts about an hour. Some very interesting stuff in it. And I received a personal note from one of my writers, the gentleman whose work I tried to share with you before the end of the first hour, and I realized I was not going to have the time to do it. Justin O. Smith. Well, his personal letter to me became quite interesting. There are times where he steps outside of his normal writing, unbeknownst to him, and he gets so damn personal. It all comes from the heart. There's the one thing, normal everyday writing comes from the mind and the knowledge factor, but when you can write from the heart, you're showing some real capabilities. And so I chose to publish it. And I wrote a foreword to it, which says, the following was sent to me midday today in response to my post of several days ago. So tired of America. Wherein I close my forwarding remarks by stating, each reader will draw from the following what moves your own emotion. And yet, working with Justin on a daily basis, he detected far more than my opening words could reflect, for it was the words of the song that drove home the point, although for the singer it had other meanings. And what I'm about to share with you were Justin's words and concerns for me, and although they were written to and for me, I began to realize that there are many people out there who are going through the same dark feelings and anger that I am, and by posting this letter and his concerns, that maybe we can reach some of you as well. Maybe we can make a difference in America's future as well. In the words of George Michael, please be stronger than your past, for the future may still give you a chance. Justin begins by saying, I wanted to see how you're doing since your latest post suggests a bit of hopelessness. I've been thinking about the last post, so tired of America, and I must admit I was shocked and dismayed to see you posting it. Had it come from someone else or anyone else, I would have been disgusted, but I thought surely you must mean the power is currently controlling America. My friend, America is the best thing that ever happened to the world, bringing more freedom and liberty and prosperity to the most people than any other entity in the history of humankind. And even as its system and institutions are currently being bastardized by those who would be king, the flawed and imperfect Trump has somewhat stood in their way for a moment in time and giving us all the time and a reprieve to regroup and recalculate going forward. The majority of Americans don't want what the socialists and communists and the Muslims of this nation are selling. But through too many years of compromise and allowing evil men and women to corrupt the system, we have allowed the minority to become the majority and essentially hold this nation hostage. The complicity of black robe activist tyrants in the judiciary who believe themselves to be the final word, when in fact the final word has always rested with we the people. If only we reach down and pull ourselves up by our proverbial bootstraps and find the will and the strength to act in unison, to tell the federal government hell no to any of its misapplied rulings and law, restore power to the people under the 9th and 10th Amendments. It does appear that many roadblocks have been placed in the way of even doing such a simple thing, but this falls on the shoulders of a corrupt society. It has allowed itself to be blackmailed by the federal government's unconstitutional withholding of tax dollars, unless states comply with certain federal laws and edicts like MARTA and seatbelts and speed limits and a black-hearted coercion that has chipped away at liberty for years. And the people themselves have driven this great nation further down into the muck, rather than pushing it to the mountaintops and reaching for the stars and the best all-around solutions for all Americans. There's so much more. But history books are full of anything else I could possibly make note of at this time. Jeff, I simply detected a bit of hopelessness in this post, and I had to wonder if you were giving up. Push comes to shove, and it probably will take America descending further into the current hell the godless and the Marxists and the Muslims are creating within her contiguous states. The true Americans will reach their limit when the federal government does not properly address their grievances, and unless I miss my bet, just a few years out from fine, decent, freedom-loving Americans marching on a U.S. government that has grown too big, too powerful, and represents everyone and their brother, except for those of us born in America. And while Trump is doing some good in countering the aforementioned dynamics at play, he's doing too little too late, and even people in his own party are still working against his efforts and working to undermine his presidency. Well, whatever happens, good men in this country will never submit to tyranny. We may see black markets rise and enclaves of Americans simply refusing to obey any future government that attempts to rule rather than govern, as it ignores the original intent of the founders and the Constitution, which were largely abandoned in 2013. Justin continues and said, I wrote the following to another friend a few days ago. He said, the Republican Party has killed itself by trying to expand its size through ignorant compromises rather than effecting true conversions to a limited government, liberty-minded philosophy. And as such, they have a bunch of Republicans in name only, turncoat interlopers akin to John McCain, who are just as likely to side with the Democratic Party as they are with the Republican Party, in a fashion that negates real efforts to create a better government, greater liberty. The rhinos, Paul Ryan, essentially, with the primary reason that Trump was unable to successfully fund the border security and the wall and immigration reform in the first 2 years of his administration, when the Republicans held a majority in both houses of Congress. It's pure national suicide on full display, and it beats all that I've ever seen. My votes for years now, Justin continues, have gone to candidates that espouse the greatest liberty for the most people, along with a documented record of promoting fiscal responsibility and limited government. And I'm afraid our government has grown so big that everything we now see is its own efforts to grow and retain power and to continue its drive toward greater coercion in the process, to the detriment of the people, of course. Efforts employed and utilized across both sides of the aisle. Nothing will change until some cataclysmic event forces the eventual collapse of the nation and a new force arises out of the ashes of the ensuing chaos. Hopefully one led by freedom and liberty-minded individuals who will not allow the return of what was, choosing instead to create something better, something that allows no error towards excessive government controls and tyranny. Our checks and balances have currently been bastardized. Our court, the judiciary, acts as though it is the last word on everything, the final arbiter of truth. When, once again, in fact, it is we the people. And frankly, we're sick and tired of having our referendums turned aside by activist, out-of-control communist justices who stopped looking out for America's best interests decades ago. But America herself has so much yet to offer her people. If only the righteous who are left will arise and restore her. This is not a fight that will be won if we all fall into a pit of self-pity and despair. Rather than despair, the people should be growing more angry, and so many anti-American invaders and interlopers now seemingly direct domestic and foreign policy and the welfare of the people and the nation. And so I hope whatever is under your skin resolves itself soon and you find a way to take joy in the simplest things God has to offer us all in this wondrous creation of His. Even should we temporarily be defeated and forced to live in tyranny, those of us who love God, family, freedom, and America will never lay down and say quit. We will be the guerrilla fighters who will make the tyrants pay each and every day as we water that tree of liberty with their blood. Come on, old friend, jump back in amongst the living. I know you've paid your dues five times over by now, but good men such as yourself are still needed. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and stay in the fight. Many millions of Americans are struggling with the same doubts as you are. By the way, this pep talk is the very same one I have to deliver to myself from time to time, Justin says, as I look at myself in the mirror and consider all that may come and all I desire for the future of my children and grandchildren and many generations beyond. Take heart, my friend. I'm still with you. God has not abandoned you. Your friend, Justin. for a moment, take out the fact that this is a piece that was written to me. And this was written as a private letter. But I realized upon reading it, and I'm going to tell something, share something with you. 24 and a half years on the air. And right now is the least amount of broadcasting that I've done in many, many, many years, 2 hours a week. My average broadcasting week ranged from basically 12 to 14 hours a week was average. 2 hour programs every single day for a long, 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 long time. There was a time back in the early 2000s I was doing 4 hours a day, 2 hours at night at Worldwide Christian Radio, and 2 hours in the morning. That doesn't count the fact I did guest stints, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not building myself up. But I'm going to share something with you. In all of those years, when I was putting a program together, I could put an entire 22-hour program together in 20 minutes. And they, some of you out there listen and still have discs of many of my old programs. Some I had 8-hour series, 6-hour, 2-hour series, economics, health, a wide range of everything. Some was satire. Never once, when I was putting a program together and I had a full script in front of me, or I had a news article that I wanted to share with the audience on that day, I never went beyond the first paragraph. And I knew this was going to fit what I was trying to do on that particular day, whether I was dealing with immigration, with abortion, cancer issues, historical issues, Constitution, Bill of Rights, didn't matter what the issue was. One paragraph, or maybe no more than 2 or 3 sentences. And I knew it was the right piece. And 24 and a half years, I only made a mistake twice. And I realized partway through the presentation that it was a sucker's job. The opening was written in a certain manner to suck people in, and then they'd switch them over to poison. But you know what? I still didn't change my habits. Ever. Until this piece by Justin. Partially because it was written in the form of a letter, but partially because I realized Justin was not just talking to me. Justin was talking to you, to your loved ones, your family members, the other people who may not even listen to this network. God knows they should be. All of us that are angry and fed up, fit to be tied. They want our guns. They want to stick RFID chips in us. They want to stick something up our posterior, which they've been doing for most of our lives anyway, in a roundabout way. My concern is no longer for me. My anger, my frustrations is for my grandchildren. What the hell are they going to have to face? It's insane. I picked my granddaughter from school today. We're coming home. And she said, "Dotto, I got to tell you this." She said, "They, one of the girls in my class is asking another girl in the class out on a date." Well, sad thing is, it doesn't surprise me anymore because this kind of stuff is happening. Last year, freshman year in high school, you know, you get the king and the queen for the homecoming dance and all this business. And of course, each class gets their own little prince and princesses and all that stuff. The king and queen at the school last year were two guys. This is insane. But this is what's taking place in this country. It is more and more become a me, me, me mentality and generation in this world. And I, for one, grow very weary of it. There was a time when we were growing up that there was a right and wrong. I saw a photograph on Facebook last night with a woman, obviously probably a 50s dress, you know, 50s type dress and high heels. They're probably at some party somewhere or a family picnic, whatever the case may happen to be. And she's got this young kid of hers picked up in one arm, holding this kid in a rip, and she's walking away. And you know there's a good butt whipping coming up. Whoo, you do that today. And the kid said, "You can't do that to me. I'm calling the police." And my comment to my friend, Buck Mallard, was, you know what? Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happened to us. We got out of line. We got a butt whooping. We got a belt. We got a hard hand in the ass. And it's what made men out of us and allowed us to marry and raise children and work. And sometimes we failed. And sometimes we didn't. We weren't allowed to live at home for free down in the basement. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all these expensive computers and these toys. This electronic age is poison. These kids don't sleep. They got the cell phones in the bed with them. And the radiation's frying their brains. They're nutritionally challenged. Somebody, some black woman's out there saying it's the white man's the white man's racist, and it's the white man's fault that we black people so obese. What? Oh, you know what? I bet that's right, because we have handed out so much free food stamps and EBT cards and Obamacare phones and free housing and everything else that you've had no need to work. And you sit around in your fat, lazy ass. And in this particular case, it's got nothing to do with their color. But for people to continue to throw that word around makes me want to vomit. They're the ones that are racist. I'm sitting there watching music on YouTube the other night. I draw to people like Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Celia Cruz, an amazing Cuban woman that I was familiar with so many years ago. As a matter of fact, probably 15 years ago when Celia Cruz died, I opened the program and I played a lot of her. And it was a regular news program, one of my regular everyday things. But I played her music throughout the entire program at each break. I look at Martin Luther King. To me, I prefer Malcolm X. I grew up people like Sammy Davis Jr., Hank Aaron. The number of black people in my life that have died that truly affected me because of their talent, because of so many things, the way they conducted their lives, simply amazing. So don't play this race card crap with me. If that offends some of you, that's your problem, not mine. But that's the reality. But the point I'm making here is that this piece of Justin's I read a number of times, and I realized this had to be published. Not only with the response to the George Michael piece of music that we opened this hour with. Yeah. I'm so tired of you, America. So tired of what America's become. So tired of the laziness. I look at my friends down in the South who, oh, gee, I wish I could be there so they could go down there to combat those little terrorist bastards that have come down from the North that want to paint statues. And I told people right from the beginning, they're not just coming after the Southern statues. They want those from the North. They want the statues of Jesus Christ. They're going after the crosses. What the hell is wrong with you? But you want to be there? Get off your ass and be there. We'll be back in a few moments.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Food's primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back. Guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. It's a hell here on earth, in some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong.
not stick us and bleed us and take all our money and send it abroad.
We must take America back. We need prayer in the school. When I talked to Michael, the producer, a couple of hours before we began to get this thing ready to go, And as I mentioned to you, we've opened with the Sounds of Silence on my Thursday programs because I tend to approach things in a very dark manner. And once again, it's to provoke thought. And he wanted to open the show with it, with John's regular piece of music. I said, no, we're going to totally move things around. I said, I do want that piece of music. And now you understand why, because it fits everything we've done here. I think, and as I mentioned, there may be some things here that you were not in favor of, but I think you understand the direction and the meaning. We've got some time to return to the piece I began sharing with you at the end of the first hour, called Back to the Future, Breakfast and Death in a Brave New World. Our author is in the future, talks about being born November 6th of next year, 2020, just about to turn 40 when he awoke one Saturday morning in 2060, the sound of his iPhone at 4:30 a.m., sat with his coffee, brewed automatically after his wake-up alarm sounded, ruminating about some old letters of my great-granddad's, which had described a society where liberty was being destroyed. Described all the freedom he had had as a boy when he could ride a bicycle without some policeman making him put a helmet on or drive without a seatbelt when he turned 16. And he was able to carry his own 12-gauge shotgun through the streets of town on his way to the fields and the hunt without a single glance from the local sheriff's deputies or the city police when he was just 11 years of age. Opened the door, pulled out some bacon and eggs for breakfast, along with a jug of milk and orange juice, which sent an automatic signal to the stove and my iPhone. Shutting the refrigerator door automatically activated an RFID, a radio frequency identification signal on the packages I'd removed. So my refrigerator knew what was removed and when it was removed, and so too did Apple and anyone else who bought the information they sold without my consent or approval. This is breakfast in our brave new world. The same way as I dressed myself, each article of clothing had a chip from the store where I bought them, even my shoes. And it was cold this morning, so I dressed warm and hoped my electricity monitor was functioning properly since it shuts off after I've reached my allotted use for the month. Everything was tracked by my phone. The Wi-Fi, the kitchen appliances, which spy on me daily and sell my activity tracking information to other retailers. So much for personal privacy, not to mention that everything I own seems to be making money off me. In preparation of what I anticipated to be a wonderful day, I opened my dresser drawer near my bed and retrieved my pistol, headed out the front door to my car. A rickety, not too safe, and often unreliable, energy-efficient smart car. As my house noted my departure and the car noted my arrival with motion sensors, RFIDs, my iPhone, all tracking me. Car started itself. My entertainment system was already playing my favorite tunes while the car's little black box and Google GPS and my phone were all over me like a bloodhound on a scent. And in departing, I was tracked to every location, every traffic signal, every song I listened to was noted, filed and logged, whether sad or lively. Even local businesses captured all my information through their security cameras as I passed them by. And yet there I was, thinking that nobody knew where I was, where I was going, what I'm thinking, or what I plan to do that day. No, I was truly enjoying my weekend and thinking ahead to spending some wonderful quality time with my wife and children as I also look towards the upcoming holidays with hope for the future and better days to come. Well, I was headed towards one of my favorite hiking places near Goshen Hill because it had been a terribly stressful week and I needed some quiet, relaxing time in the woods alone. Brought a firearm along because our local wolf and coyote populations had grown quite large and aggressive since the forestry department had transplanted them in the area. Imagine my surprise when I saw blue lights behind me as I drove down the old abandoned country road, prompting me to pull over. And a bullhorn blared its demand that I throw the gun from the car and exit slowly, even though I had done absolutely nothing wrong. And I'm caught completely unaware, and I certainly did not want to scratch up my $10, 500, nearly rusted 40 caliber, I'm sorry, $10,500, nearly rusted 40 caliber Beretta. Well, I had a permit, wasn't a threat to anybody, so I decided to open the door. And my last memories were of multiple loud bangs as I was shot to death. And after a short investigation and inquiry, the media narrative explicated how it was known that I had a stressful week and was planning on hurting someone or myself, but along the way I had chosen to die by cop instead. How curious this should have been to all. In light of the sweet note I had left for my wife and the kids, laying out my plans for a fun hike and explaining that I brought my pistol to fend off the wolves in abundance since hunting was outlawed. I'd written that I love them so very much and look forward to taking them to the country fair in a few hours. But this was all ignored and explained away since it didn't fit the narrative that firearms are evil and people that own them are completely unstable. Among all the questions, nobody asked the officers how they knew that I had a firearm or what made them feel that I was a threat at that time due to my stressful week. This is how tyranny came to America. A little bit at a time. I was dead, branded a pistol-wielding madman by the Murfreesboro Post and the Daily News Journal, and my wife's and children's lives were changed forever. And others who witnessed this abuse of power fell in line, rank and file, towing the line, complying to avoid a similar fate as they understood they too were being tracked, choosing to ignore it because Grand Theft Auto is just so interesting a game and keeps them from being alone for a few minutes while waiting for dinner guests to arrive. Welcome, my friends, to what life will become. If Americans and the entirety of modern societies everywhere do not soon take necessary precautions against electronic intrusions on our everyday personal lives, this is life as it most probably will become when we place it all under the control of algorithms and abandon the Bill of Rights, especially the Fourth and Second Amendments. If people fail to act in a timely fashion to these threats to freedom, they will get what they have requested, what they deserve. Tyranny to their heart's desire. Or until they're sick to death of it. Once again, Justin O. Smith. But even Justin admitted that was a little off track for him, the fantasy into the future. Does it make its point? I think it does. I think it makes its point very, very, very well. Much of what we have shared with you this day is scary. Because each and every day, more and more of these things are coming at us, coming our way. And one wonders why I'm so tired of it all. A good number of us have been broadcasting for many, many years. John's got just a hair more time than I do. Two of us together are hanging around the 50-year mark. And there's others on this network that have been broadcasting for a considerable period of time. And it makes you begin to wonder, who in the hell are we reaching? Oh, I guess we're reaching some of you because you're sitting there nodding your head up and down in agreement. But you can't just bob your head up and down. You've got to do something to reach out. You got to start within your own family. And that should have started years and years and years ago. should have jerked your kids out of the public school system years and years and years ago. Now they're teaching transgender crap in the schools, and they're bringing little convicted sexual felons into schools to read little freaking LGBTQ books to the kids. And the parents aren't doing a damn thing about it. But then again, you know, the parents might be two so-called females or two so-called males. There are no other sexes, okay? You know, you're either hanging or you're not, okay? That offend you? Good. That means you listened. And that's what's important. You look at so much of what I built around this program. Almost everything I've shared with you, and some of them I did not complete. Time prevented it from happening. The piece I just shared with you, Back to the Future, Breakfast and Death in a Brave New World. The response, the letter to the editor. The piece that I basically said it was a personal letter to me, but I felt that it's a personal letter to all of you. Piece by Neil Ross called Take Your Opinion, You Can Shove Your Opinion Up Your Anus. Well, he titled it and stick it where the sun don't shine. But I found a picture that fit. Neil says, I'm tired, tired beyond words, and I know I'm not alone feeling this way. But that knowledge does nothing to alleviate the overwhelming weariness that bears down upon me like a mountain of boulders. But the weariness does not come as a result of any physical exertion. It is a mental. It comes from being unable to find people with whom we can hold an intelligent conversation. That piece we didn't share with you today. I'm giving you the teaser. The piece entitled Blindness in America, the piece written by the 26-year-old college gal, Alyssa Algren. So tired of America and what it's become. George Michael's live performance at the Paris Opera House is going to a town. I'm so tired of America and what it's become. Tired of the people who've given up, that are doing nothing. They're just sitting around with their thumbs up their anal canals, just waiting for the end. Well, it ain't going to be a very pleasant end, folks. Oh, there's a lot more. The disposable humans, the downfall of civilization, America entering the dark age, the book being closed on the late great United States of America. There's more. Chaos or anarchy. If you look at so much that I've posted over the last month and a half at Federal Observer, there's an awful lot of darkness in it. A lot. Slipping into Madness, the comparisons to the 20s and 30s, that marvelous presentation by Charles Chaplin at the end of the first hour. Open it, read the article, watch the video. It was satire, but that segment of the film was not satire. Michael, quick question. When is our actual sign-off time? 58, 59, what is it? He's putting a note up to me. It starts at 53:50? Okay, because I've got about a one-minute thing I've got to do just before we go to that. Okay, good. A couple of quick things because I've only got about 3-4 minutes left. And there's a reason for it. You'll understand why. We're going to close this with another piece from George Michael that asks an extremely amazing question. And it's one that I want you to conclude this program tonight and start trying to answer. But almost everything we've done in this program today, you can find at federalobserver.com. I strongly urge you to go read it. I don't get paid money because you go read it. It's there for you. It's there for those who care. We have another website called metropolis.cafe. It deals with education. Within it, we've got a segment called words and deeds, begin to learn the truth about Mr. Lincoln's war, not the Civil War. These are the ways we teach. And because of that site, I'm aware of at least two families that wound up choosing to remove their children from the public school system. That, my friends, is a victory. One victory at a time. One victory in your home, three houses down, four blocks down, in the cities, in the streets. Those are the victories we attain. Now look, I know that in this two-hour time period, I've laid a lot of heavy stuff on all of you for this time period. The goal of my programming is never to cause fear. Instead, we want to understand what is coming so that we can be prepared to fulfill the purpose for why we were put on this planet at this precise moment in history. You, I, we were born for such a time as this, and a date with destiny awaits. Be blessed this day, my friends. Be blessed. Lord willing, I'll be back with you next Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Time, protecting your wealth. I thank John for allowing me to fill in for him tonight. Hope I did him good. We got that much time to go yet? Boy, my clock must be different than yours. We could darn near do it, but then you'll be running with commercials longer than we got time. I've shared this on a program before, and I think it ties into a lot of what we talked about. The only way socialism has any chance in America is for the education system to push it in schools. Remember, the father of their modern education elite beliefs was one John Dewey, a communist, a failed teacher who pushed what are now clearly failed education theories. I share with you this quote of the day. This militant crowd is comprised of uninformed and misinformed people looking at themselves as unfortunate, underpaid, underappreciated victims of capitalism, overwhelmed with jealousy that there are people who are everything they are not. You are going to have to take ownership over the education of your own children, your own grandchildren, and maybe your great-grandchildren. As I stated a moment ago, the goal of my programming is never to cause fear. We want to understand what is coming so that we can be prepared to fulfill the purpose for why we were put on this planet at this precise moment in history. You, I, we were born for such a time as this, and a date with destiny awaits. Be blessed this day, and pray that there's still time. Do we have the time? I'll see you another day.
Of the open hand, we will not be the last. Look around now, these are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand with the ignorance and legitimate excuses. Declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances. Say, I sang 20 years and a day,
but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do the hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. And the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Media dominates the.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.